Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review applications. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts order, maybe certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this meeting online. To ensure public access to the deliberations of the Beacon Hill Architecture District Commission, the public may access this call through telephone or video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email at beaconhillac@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks and using the hashtag number BH May 21st hearing. We will repeat these instructions throughout the hearing. So we are going to start with 5557 Bremer Street.
So Nick, do I just start?
Yes, hi Don, yes, I was just gonna call your name out. Yes, so go ahead and just let me know when you'd like to change the slides, I have control.
Okay, great. So thank you for doing this via Zoom, I really appreciate it. This is a continuation of a hearing that was a while ago now, because we had to sort out a building code appeal issue. So now we're back. The drawing on the left, SK1, and the one on the right, SK2, are similarly arranged so that the upper drawing is the prior submission. Everything in the prior submission, which included quite a bit of restoration work on the rest of the building, was approved with the exception of the Bremer Street facade of the rear one-story garage. So on the left, upper left, you see the prior submission of the one-story garage that had a faux garage door with a transom above in the Bremer Street. Bremer Street is at the upper drawing. So if you want to do that, I could, but I thought I'd just go through the plans first, Nick. And the drawing on SK1 below that shows a proposed revision, which is a tripartite window that will show you an elevation. We've kept the same location of the original opening. One of the comments from the commission previously was that it didn't seem necessary to have kind of a faux garage door for the fenestration. Part of the reason for having done that, of course, was to respect the original opening, even though this rear addition is being rebuilt. But there is a curb cut that we wanted to respect, and we wanted to respect the former location of the fenestration. So that I felt was important to retain, especially in the event that the use were to ever change back, which is also always possible. I'd like to respect that that opening, and also the current owner is not planning on eliminating the curb cut. It's a very narrow area, not quite enough for another parking space, and it provides value. Real estate value by retaining that curb cut. So on the right is this second floor. A thing to mention here that changed that was not really part of the prior discussion substantively is that on the upper right drawing, you'll see a exterior stair that is was partially visible. You'll see that in elevations as well. In the lower right drawing is a revised stair. When we first met with the commission, right before we met, there was a complaint from a direct abutter about the fact that the exterior stair was partially visible. This is providing second means of egress for the new adaptive reuse. We found this out right before the prior hearing, and we came up with an alternative that concealed the stair but required a building code appeal. The commission, from what I heard, had no objection to either version. So that wasn't really part of what was described in the determination. But we were not successful with the building code appeal board for the revised stair that concealed itself behind the exterior wall. But we did come up with a exterior stair that satisfies the abutter that is concealed from view. So that's in the lower drawing. And the abutter has acknowledged that is acceptable to them. So if you go to the next slide, Nick. So these SK 3 and 4 have a similar approach. The upper drawing on each is the prior submission, and the lower drawing on each is the proposed revision. So on the left, we have the north elevation, which is partially visible from a public way. It's got an exit door on the ground floor at the left. If you see in section, there's a 6-foot high fence that was previously approved by the commission prior to actually the current owner buying the building. And so the visibility line we show it later in photographs, but it's kind of horizontal with that 6-foot fence. So the partially visible stair has now been removed and turned and is not visible from the public way anymore. And we've matched that transom height windows of the exit door with a couple of windows that look into the garden space, which is actually an improvement for the interior use. The Bremer Street side, the upper drawing shows the faux garage that the commission wanted to revisit. And the lower drawing shows three fixed pane windows that are in a 2/2 format. And I'll show you a larger elevation of this that matches the 2/2 double hungs that are to the left. You see in the upper left of that drawing, a 6/6. The second floor of this building has 6/6 windows, but the ground floor, the first floor, has 2/2 windows. So same opening as the faux garage because it respects that curb cut. And the curb cut is bound on each side, interrupting the brick walk with granite. So I felt it would be odd to not recognize that in elevation. The would-be board panel below, it would be similar to the fence that's there. So the next slide, Nick. These are overall first and second floor plans. On the left, we have on A10, it's existing drawing above and the proposed drawing below. Bremer Street again is at the top, Chestnut Street at the right. So on the upper drawing, the garage is quite dilapidated and we did receive approval to rebuild that. So the drawing down below just shows the openings on Bremer Street, the exit to the back and the stair in context of the overall building. To the right would be the roof plan that shows that same overall context. If you wanna scroll right. So these overall drawings, I'm not showing the prior submission because that was covered well enough in the smaller sketches. I just wanted you to see context. We can look at the elevations next, in the next slide, Nick. So I believe you wanna scroll left. Well, you could start here, then we'll scroll left. So in the middle of this is the before and after of the north facade. Again, not reiterating the prior submission. These are just the developed construction documents. So the upper one shows the existing and the lower one shows the proposed. The right-hand side is Chestnut Street, that's unchanged. The left-hand side are details that are not at play here. So if you wanna scroll left, we'll see the Bremer Street facade. That's moving forward. You skipped drawing A20. Here we go. So this shows the overall in context. The above, the upper drawing is the existing. Part of what we'd previously proposed was doing some window restoration, repairing a lot of cracked masonry. Restoring the building's facade, restoring the windows that are in the facade as well. So on the right, the former garage up, well, the existing garage up above and the fence to the right of it. And then down below, the proposed garage with the change in fenestration. Nick, and the next three, after the elevation, we show three photographs that have been adjusted to show the prior submission and the first submission. So on the left are existing conditions. This was reviewed previously, and on the right is the prior submission showing the faux garage door, and you can also see the exit into the garden, and you can see the partially visible exterior stair to which the abutter objected. The next slide and final slide shows the revision of this, again, changing adjusting the photograph to show that the four light tripartite window with the black beadboard underneath, similar to the fence. The proportions of each of the windows match the proportions of the other openings in the building, and the proportion of the overall beadboard matches the proportion of the fence. And you can see in this photograph quite clearly the curb cut that will remain that recognizes this opening. So that's the updated elevation as requested.
Okay, do you have anything else to add?
Nothing else to show, no.
So we're going to open it to a public comment. And I have to read this statement again. Members of the public will now have the opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press star 9 to raise your hand. You can send your question to staff via email at beaconhillhc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag number BH May 21st hearing. We will wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit comments. And I just want to remind you that we're going to limit the public comment to 2 minutes each person.
Great. Looks like our first hand being raised is Rochelle Gerwitz. Rochelle?
Hi, Beacon Hill Civic Association. We ask that the building continue to read as a garage on Bremer Street elevation. The windows should look as much like a garage door as possible, particularly since the curb cut is going to remain. We have no objection to the side elevation changes and fire escape. That's the end of the comment.
Great, thank you. Don't see anyone else raising their hand.
I think Charlotte had a comment.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I was not aware that Rochelle had already raised her hand.
Okay.
So I'm good. She read exactly our comments. So,
okay.
Thank you.
No problem. And for everybody that's in the audience, the raise hand button is in the participation list under the more option. So there's a raise hand function. You don't have to physically raise your hand. Go ahead, Miguel.
Should we wait the 2 minutes or already past the 2 minutes?
Yeah, we have one more person, Martha McNamara. Martha, would you like to have your time to
comment? Hi, Martha McNamara. I'm an architectural historian. I teach historic preservation at Wellesley College. Lived on the Hill for 35 years, and I'm a former member of the Beacon Hill Architectural Commission. I recognize that the commission in the prior submission asked for a revision from the faux garage doors to the windows. And I wasn't at that meeting, so I'm not sure what the reasoning was, but I'd just like to put a little color on what Rochelle said and point out that this is essentially a carriage house slash garage. And while that wood frame structure is, you know, a 20th century structure and it's not part of the original, it seems to me that it really should still read as a service building. That I think it does some damage to the integrity of the entire property if we make a sudden shift from something that reads just like a carriage house slash garage to something that looks like it reads like a school building or something. So again, I understand that the commission asked you for this revision, but I would just question it, and I would strongly suggest that the commission go back to the original submission where you had the faux garage doors with the transom light up above. Thank you.
Thank you. I do not see anyone else raising their hand or any chats coming in. Mary, are there any tweets?
No, there's nothing on Twitter.
Okay, and there are no email messages coming in. So I think that's all we have right now for public comment.
Yes. We'll close the public comment now. And Nick, if you can provide your staff comments.
Yeah. Staff recommends that the change is denied without prejudice, citing the proposed windows are inappropriate for the context of the street, considering that it's a predominantly garage slash carriage house street. If the concern is that there's not enough light into the classroom or the proposed classroom, staff recommends larger transom windows. but still show as a faux garage door.
Okay, now we can open it to the commission for comments. I would like to say I concur that the windows as shown are inappropriate in both sides of the building. I mean, this is the carriage house. It's a secondary building, has been like that for a long time. And we already did a few concessions, you know, to allow the building to function more as a school, like allowing a stair. We also, you know, allowed the deck on top. So we actually changed the shape of the deck during the last hearing. And we allowed to open some transom windows, you know, under the facade of Bremer Street. So we were trying to work with the applicant in terms of, you know, making this building more usable to the use of the school without compromising the historic integrity of the building. But the way as it's proposed, I think it goes way too far into compromising this building. I think if the staircase works better, you know, an interior staircase, I think that would be acceptable, but I would be very reluctant to agree with all those new windows. They are definitely not a prototype in the hill. They will look, you know, very out of place. I don't know if any else in the commission would like to make a comment.
Well, I too agree with the your recommendation. I agree with you, Miguel, and with Nick.
Anybody else?
No, I think I'm on the same page as everyone else here.
Okay. Do you agree, like, if they want to change the stairs, we will allow that?
I'm fine with the stairs as presented here. I think it's really, to me, it's just the garage, the door look.
Okay.
Yes, likewise.
Okay. Right. Will anybody would like to do a motion?
I move that we accept as presented, that we approve it as presented.
Well, we didn't say that. No, I think we need to do an acceptance of the move of the stairs, but deny the windows and keep the garage door as the garage door is. Is that what you mean? Is that what you mean?
Yes, thank you.
This is Alice Richmond. I'm sorry. I thought the meeting was starting at 5:30. To explain again, Mr. Rosales, what you're suggesting, what you're proposing in response to the petition.
Okay. I think moving the stairs from the outside to the inside of the building is acceptable, and it will have a less impact, you know, on the neighbors, and it will not be as visible. I think that's an acceptable proposition. Changing the garage door to these strange windows is really not acceptable. That's, you know, a very strange prototype. I think keeping the curb cut is essential, you know, as part of the historic background of the building. And, you know, we already approved a garage door with transom windows to allow some light into the interior. So that was already a concession. And I think that he also has a skylight on the deck, which also will allow some light, you know, to come through. So I think the only part of this application that I think should be accepted is changing the staircase from the exterior to the interior.
Okay, I missed the beginning. So I'm was a little confused. They are converting this space from a garage be part of the building, part of the office.
Well, this is a school, so I think the intention is to do like a science classroom or, you know, something in that regard, some use for the school.
So,
okay.
So Alice, this is the existing, I believe, existing conditions. This was this one here on the right-hand side was the prior submission. Yeah. And this was the original proposal for today, and the other commission members had decided that this was not something that they could approve.
Okay, so the what we're going to approve today is what? What does it look like?
Moving the stairs. You go back to the plan actually.
Okay.
Actually, the plan is better.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I see the plan. Okay.
Yeah, you see,
I mean,
the stairs will be interior, basically, and they used to be exterior. So I think that's a good change.
I agree with that. I mean, part of the problem here is that the building in its current state is terminally ugly. I understand it may be historic, but boy, is it ugly. So anything that kind of is going to make it look better, but I guess my lack of understanding was that they were taking away the function of that green building, which has been a garage for as long as I've been familiar with it. So now I understand it's no longer going to be a garage, and that there needs to be some light into whatever kind of function the room is now going to support. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
One question, Nick, can we go to the visualization?
Yeah. This one?
Yes. I remember when we last approved this garage door, it was supposed to look very similar to the one on Bremer Street. And it doesn't look like that in this view. Like if you go to the one on Bremer Street, that was part of the condition.
Do you mean the one on Chestnut Street?
Well, the one on Chestnut Street, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one
of the... It doesn't look like that in the photo, but is that your intention?
I'm sorry?
Is your intention is to match as much as possible the one on Chestnut Street?
Yes, the prior submission, which is the image on the right here, was suggesting that we would have a similar look to the garage that's recessed off of Chestnut Street.
Okay, and that's what I remember in the application, but this photo doesn't show it like that.
Okay. Right, and actually, I prefer the prior submission in terms of the Bremer Street elevation. But okay. I was asked to change it and make it look more like a school building, so that's what I did. But I actually support the decision to deny what we just submitted in terms of the Bremer Street facade, because I thought the prior one was more favorable towards respecting the garage historically.
Okay. So do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. So we'll take a vote.
Could I ask one clarifying question before you take a vote? Is part of what you're denying the windows into the garden area?
Yes.
Because we had removed the skylight in this more recent one. We can put the skylight back so that we maintain light.
But you can put back the skylight back.
Yeah, we'll do that. Just.
Okay, so I'll take a vote. Arian Alim?
Agreed that they killed the stairs but fixed the garage door.
Okay. Joel Pierce?
Aye.
Daniel Santos is not here. Pete Weinberg?
Aye.
Alice Richmond? Alice?
Say Alice Richmond?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm okay with this. Yes, thank you.
And Matthew Blumenthal is not here. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
We're going to move to 3 Park Street.
Right, and that's me again.
It's also done, yep.
Yeah, thanks for that, Nick. So 3 Park Street is a building that was built in 1918 as the Warren Institution for Savings. It spent a pretty significant chunk of the 20th century as part of Houghton Mifflin's headquarters that included 2 and 3 Park Street. And Park Street Church purchased 2 and 3 Park Street in 1993. In 1996 and 7, we did quite a bit of adaptive reuse of 3 Park Street, including restoration of original, or rather restoration and replica of missing windows. The Park Street facade floors 3 through 8 had the original windows removed, and they put in casements that were shorter than the masonry openings, and they had transite transoms with window air conditioning units in them. It was really quite horrific. And so in 97, we restored the original windows, we had the advantage of having the 1918 drawings for the Warren Institution for Savings. Now, part of the application is currently before you is that some of the window glass has fogged because the seals in the insulated glass have failed. And so we're requesting permission to replace fogged glass units in specific areas with the possibility of doing more if the church can afford more. We're going to stay with clear glass. We're not doing low E. We're not doing anything that will change the color of the glass. One thing to point out is that at the front facade, we have white windows, and we had gotten approval in 97, I believe, maybe 96, to use clear aluminum spacers in the front, because at the time I had pointed out to Eric Dre, who was the staff person at the time, that if we did dark spacers in a white window, it makes it look like they're simulated divided light, because it creates a shadow line that makes it look like the muntins are applied. And so this building was a little unique since that dark spacers was really written because of all the dark sash, I feel, in Beacon Hill, that in the front facade, we use clear aluminum spacers, and in the back facade where the exterior is a dark brown, we use dark spacers. So that was a little different at the time. And I see that the regulations still say to use only dark spacers, which is appropriate when you have a dark sash, but when you have a light sash, it makes it look like true divided light windows are simulated divided light windows. So the proposal is to replace as needed fogged glass with like glass that had been previously approved. So that's the first part of the application. So we have photographs front and rear. You can see in the lower right, you can see the fogging that's there. What's prompting this is a renovation of the upper level apartment for an incoming senior minister. And a lot of the windows in that apartment and also in some of the meeting rooms are fogged. So the total scope is going to be dependent on how much they can afford to do right now. So we've asked for specific approval of the upper levels and three levels in the back that are meeting rooms, but we'd like kind of a blanket approval if in fact they were able to afford to do more within the 2-year period of a certificate of appropriateness application, because it does not reflect any change from what had been previously approved. There's two other items. I don't know if you want to vote on each one independently.
I'll finish the application.
Okay. So the next is to replace the existing surface mounted intercom system at the entrance recess at the street with an updated similar system that we've provided cut sheets for. So here we're getting there. So the lower right picture shows the previously approved intercom system. This is different than the guidelines because we surface mounted this because it's in limestone. The guidelines talk about flush mounting. My concern at the time back in 97 was this equipment gets dated, it gets replaced, sometimes it gets smaller, sometimes it gets larger. So behind this surface mounted brass panel is just an inch and a half conduit that allows the cables to come into it. So to replace it doesn't damage the limestone because we never cut out the limestone to create a flush panel. So we're proposing, I think on the next page, it shows a replacement unit that's smaller, has a similar look, it's simplified. Previously we had multiple buttons and more areas inside that this intercom was used. Now there's only a need for two. So it's a simplified look. Again, it would be surface mounted because, you know, in another 20 years, it may have to be replaced again. The third part of the application is to replace a copper chimney cap at the roof in order to put a fireplace in the upper apartment. I think I have drawings at the end there, Nick, that show the fireplace itself circled. When we did the prior work, that was in the supplement that I gave you. Do you have that?
I don't know. I just used the ones that were emailed to me. So
I emailed you a supplement after I realized I'd left off the copper cap.
Okay.
Are you able to share a screen with me? Because I could show
it. I sure
it
can, yeah.
Okay, why don't we do that?
Yeah. So I'll stop sharing, and then if you could share your screen, Don.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to enable me right now. I'm still disabled. I think you have to make me a co-host.
Joe, can you do that for me?
Do it right now.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. All right, let me get the right piece here. Can you see that?
Yep.
Okay, let me go to the end.
There you go.
Okay, so these are a couple of elevations from the former drawings that show this. There's a stub of a brick chimney that we retained in 96, 97. And we removed the brick all the way down to the basement. We kept the stub of the brick so that we wouldn't need to ask for approval to remove it primarily, and had no reason to remove it. This is a little detail from the drawing. Do you see my hand circling that? A little detail from my drawing, so we have a picture of it as well. We're proposing to do a fireplace in the apartment, and rather than replace the brick, and rather than use the sort of standard chimney cap, we're proposing to run the flue up underneath and from inside and connect to the brick with a fireproof connection, and then replace the chimney cap. Here's a before and after. This is the existing brick, and I have a photograph as well that I'll share with you. And this is a replacement that we're proposing. That's a copper screened chimney cap. This is not the right proportion of it, but it would be a custom fabricated piece like this. It could also be black if we felt it was more appropriate, but I propose copper. The photograph I have is prior to this. Hang on one second. Yeah, here we go. Here's a picture. I'm standing on the roof. It's above the 9th floor. Looking towards the steeple. So this is the brick flue that we retained, and the existing copper cap that's on there we would replace with a new cap that would be copper. I assumed that the commission would not want to see the standard vent that comes up through there, but that's also an option. We could paint the standard vent black. The problem with doing that actually is that they tend to be a 10 and a half inch outside diameter, and we have an 8x12 clear brick flue in here, but we could rebuild the brick and just add one 4 inch width to this, and then have the standard vent pipe come up and be here instead. And we could paint that black, or we could paint it patinated copper or something. I mentioned that simply because some manufacturers don't allow custom caps. And it may restrict our ability to actually feasibly do this because there is a UL listing of the entire assembly. I believe with a wood burning fireplace, we would have to stay with a standard cap, but we can do a gas burning fireplace and do this custom cap. The church would prefer the wood burning, but if that standard type of venting cap was objectionable, then we would only have the option of doing a custom cap like this as proposed, and stay with a gas burning appliance.
Do you have anything else?
Well, I just recognize that if we were to want to propose a standard vent, that we would need to revise this submission. I'm not asking for you to approve something that we haven't submitted. I've been having a difficult time getting a hold of manufacturers' reps, as you can understand. And I got some recent information just yesterday from a couple of different manufacturers of wood burning fireplaces that said we would not be able to use a custom cap, whereas with gas we can. So I'm kind of in a piece of limbo here, but you can you can tell me what you think of the custom cap, and if that's approved, then I can see if the church would agree to a gas burning fireplace instead. So.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it. Those three items.
So we're going to open it to the public comment. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press star 9 to raise your hand. You can send your questions to staff via email at beaconhillac@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag number BH May 21st hearing. We'll wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions.
Okay, our first hand being raised is Rochelle Gerwitz. Rochelle?
Hi, Beacon Hill Civic Association. No objections, the new window intercom. We don't believe that the chimney cap was included in the presentation materials on the online application posting, so we are unable to review. So we defer to the commission. That's end of comment.
Thank you. Don't see anyone else raising their hand. And oh, we have one person. Charlotte Thibodeau.
Yes, I have to add to this, since at the presentation, we are now seeing multiple or hearing multiple options. I think, you know, what was presented was the one cap. If you stand on the common actually and you have the big glass building in the background of it, it does not really fit in with other chimney caps around that area. But since we're not, Don's not exactly sure what's going to happen, I feel at some, he would have to come back to at least staff to, or that's what I would ask, to have it approved. Because to throw in a few different options, I feel is not really the way it has worked in the past. I think that's all.
So to be clear, Don has the one option, but he's saying that he's open to asking for the other ones.
Okay.
If the commission feels that way. Unfortunately, I didn't get this portion online. I only put the stuff online that I get by a specific deadline, so that's why you didn't see it. But there's one option being proposed right now to Don. I think Don's just trying to be flexible with the other options.
Okay.
And I wasn't proposing that you make any decision on an option that I did not present. I'm just being completely transparent on where I'm at in the process with this.
Okay,
and recognize that if we were to receive approval tonight for the custom cap and then determine that we needed a different cap, we would have to resubmit. I'm not asking for any comment or a decision about something I didn't present.
Okay. Any other comment?
I don't see anyone else raising their hand or any chats or emails. Mary, are there any tweets?
No, there's nothing on Twitter either.
Okay. Nick, can you provide your staff comment?
Yeah, sure. So staff recommends approval. With the provisos for the approval for the cap, the windows, as well as the buzz intercom, with the provisos that the limestone underneath is cleaned after it's removed, or after the original intercom is removed.
Okay. Now we're going to close the public comment. I will say, can we go to the picture of the proposed intercom system?
Sure.
You know, this is basically a side deal intercom system, and I find them very inappropriate in the hill. And you know, we have approved them in the past, and there is one on Louisville Square, and it really looks terrible in my opinion. I think if you want to use this, my suggestion would be to use something like the way it was done at the corner of Mount Vernon and West Cedar, at 108 Mount Vernon. They have a modern intercom system, but they built a custom brass little box, you know, that just says intercom, and you open it, and then you have the modern one inside. And I think it's a very nice solution. And then it allows you to have a modern intercom, but it doesn't look so modern and so out of place. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, this building is very visible. It's a beautiful building. And I have experienced that every time we had this Sidell intercom system, they look really inappropriate. And, you know, you want to look at an example, you can look at the one at 13 Woodward Square that was installed recently, and it really looks out of place. In terms of the windows and the chimney cap, I personally don't have any objection. I think the copper is better for the chimney cap. It will age better. And, you know, there are many examples in Beacon Hill of that kind of treatment, like the one of, for example, 85 Mount Vernon Street uses that kind of system, and it's very light and transparent, and I think it, you know, works well with the brick chimney. Do you have any comments from other commissioners?
Yes, Mr. Rosales, this is Alice Richmond. I agree with you with respect to the intercom and it's being out of place. The problem I have is that at least my understanding is that the suggestion you're making is so expensive that it almost precludes doing it unless people have enormous amounts of money. And I speak from other people who have made the same comments about modern intercom systems. I think not putting it, embedding it in the limestone is the right approach. And I think what was said by Mr. Mills, that who knows how soon it would have to be changed because they are hooked up to phone systems or internal communication systems that keep changing. So my view is that if you know, this is a group that has limited resources, and so I would not agree with you with respect to the intercom, even though in the best of all possible worlds, we would have gorgeous, you know, brass fittings for, you know, ugly modern intercom bells. I do agree with you about the windows, but not about the intercom.
Okay. Any other comment from the commission?
I have to say that I actually agree with you, Miguel, on that intercom. I think that not only do I find it unattractive, I think it is too modern for Beacon Hill. I've lived in Beacon Hill for just shy of 10 years, and it doesn't fit the aesthetic of a historic neighborhood.
Yes. I mean, I think an alternative, if, you know, the applicant would like to come back, is to find a different one. I just think this one is inappropriate. You know, this, the one that is being shown here. Or if not, you know, just build a small custom box. I don't think that's going to cost very much, in my opinion. I mean, it's a major building in Beacon Hill, very, very visible. And, you know, I think that's, unfortunately, that's part of the price of being in Beacon Hill. You have to use good materials, granite, you know, copper, wood windows. I mean, that's part of the history of the hill, and cost considerations really should not be a high priority for the commission. The commission highest priority is the historic integrity of the building, you know, and that's what we try to do. And we always try to work with the applicants, but I think in this case, this intercom would really stick up, you know, like a sore thumb, in my opinion, in the beautiful, you know, limestone facade. So I really would not be in favor. Do we have a motion? If not, I mean, I can do a motion to approve the application as proposed in terms of the window, changes of the glass in the windows. I think also if, you know, you get more funding and you want to change more glass panels, You should just submit it to the commission for approval, you know, administrative approval. I think there shouldn't be any problem with that. And then we will approve the chimney cap as proposed in copper, not black. And if you want to change that, then you should come back, you know, with a new proposal. Mm-hmm. And in terms of the intercom system, if you want to cut this one, I would say that you can keep it, but you have to add a small, you know, brass box that will look more fitting into the district. And I would advise you to look at, you know, the example at 108 Mount Vernon Street, which is very well done. And if you want to make another change, then you can always come back with a different, you know, intercom system. I mean, that's always possible. So do we have a second for that motion?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, so we take a vote. Aaron Allen?
Aye.
Joel Pierce?
Aye.
Peter Weinberg?
Aye.
Daniel Santos is not here. Matthew is not here. Alice, which one?
We are voting only on windows. Is that correct, Mr. Rosales?
No, we are. You want me to repeat the motion?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I do the motion that we approve the window changes as proposed, changing the glass to avoid the fogging that is happening in the manner that was presented by the applicant. And then we approve the chimney cap in copper as presented. And if he wants to keep the side deal intercom system, he will need to add a brass box around it to make it fit better with the, you know, historic district and better with the building. So that's the motion.
Okay, well, I mean, I certainly agree with the first part, two parts of it. I don't agree with the second part, the third part of it. So I don't know how to vote, frankly. I mean,
so in that circumstance, Alice, you would vote no.
I would vote no.
Correct.
Even though I approve of two thirds of it. Okay, I vote no.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. We're going to move to 19 Myrtle Street.
Craig, is he here? No, Craig. I see him here. Craig, can you hear us? Craig Cody?
Is he muted?
He doesn't look like he has a microphone.
Okay.
Craig, are you there?
I mean, we could just move to there the next.
I think he's here now. Craig? All right, we'll come back to you. We'll go to the next application.
34 West Cedar Street.
Let's see.
That's it. All that. That's 19 Myrtle.
Yep. That looks like it still is. I'm just trying to get there. There we go. Okay. All right.
Do we have the applicant?
Is Monica there? Joe, is everything working?
Everything looks good on our end. I don't see Monica, though, as a participant.
I see her right here. Monica, are you there? What's going on here?
Paging Monica.
Monica Pauly.
Yeah, this is Richard Pignataro from the same firm. She's on. It doesn't look like her mic is unmuted.
Okay.
Let me connect with her just for 1 second.
Sure. let's, Craig, if you can hear us while we're waiting, we also can go back to yours if you can communicate. There's Craig's camera.
Can you guys hear me now?
Is that you, Craig?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right. All right. I'm not sure what microphone I'm talking into, but I'll just keep it going and not touch anything.
That sounds great. Let me just get up. Oh, sorry.
Okay, so we are back to 19 Myrtle Street then.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Miguel. I'm just going to go back here.
Okay, I'm getting a wicked echo on my side, but I'll just kind of plow through it here.
All right. Okay, whenever you're ready, Craig.
Okay, no, thank you for taking the time there. I apologize for this hiccup. So this is fairly straightforward. So we are swapping out antennas here. We have existing 9 antennas on the rooftop at 19 Myrtle Street. So thank you, Nick. So you can see here, this is with a painted to match view. It shows that I think that makes that's the biggest difference. That's the biggest stealth we can put in here and provide. As you can see, the antennas here, this other view. It's actually pretty tough to see these things from my experience. You have to really kind of duck your head in just the right spot to see them. But I've also included a set of construction drawings here that kind of go into a little bit further detail, probably too much detail for this movie. You can see here, it's that 9 antennas, the final count is really what I'm trying to depict here. But.
Are these antennas just upgrades to the ones that exist?
Correct, exactly.
And they're in the same locations?
Yep.
Are they bigger?
I expect they'll be slightly wider, but not taller at all. It'll maintain that same roofline height of the antennas.
So Miguel, I put these on design review because they're visible, and I know the neighbors get very concerned when anything like this is visible. So,
no, that's okay.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, do you want to add anything else?
No, this is a pretty straightforward upgrade project. Again, we're not increasing the height or overall count of the antenna. So, yeah. Happy to let you guys vote on it at this point.
We're going to open it to the public comment. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press star 9 to raise your hand. You can send your questions to staff via email at beaconhillac@boston.com. Or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Larmas with the hashtag number BH, May 21st hearing. We will wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions or comments.
Great, our first hand being raised is Rochelle Gerwertz. Rochelle?
Hi, Rochelle Gerwertz, Beacon Hill Civic Association. We have no objection. End of comment.
Okay, thank you. Not seeing any chats coming in. I don't see any more hands being raised, and I do not see any email messages. Mary, do you have any tweets?
No, there's no tweets.
Okay, we are going to plus a public comment now. Nick, if you could provide your staff comments.
Staff recommends approval, considering that they're visible, with the provisos that there's a screen installed around the antennas that's painted to match the existing head house.
Now we're going to open it to the commission discussion. I would say, you know, it's kind of replacement in kind. I do agree with Nick, if they could be enclosed all together in another, you know, way so they don't stand out so much would be better. And you're suggesting fiberglass painted the same color?
Yeah.
Okay. A quick question.
Yes.
Would encasing these things in fiberglass increase the visibility because it would be bulkier?
So we're not proposing a new screen wall of any type. We are proposing just to paint the antennas to match.
I know. I'm just trying to see how we can mitigate, you know, the antennas. So I would say that the height will not change, Joe. It's correct. Probably a little bit wider. But if you look at the, you know, the fiberglass material, it's just very thin. It's only like, you know, like half an inch or something like that. But if you look at the view, the other view, can we see the other view? This then one. you will not have these shadow lines. You know, it will look more like just a box, which they already exist, so I think it's okay. But if we could mitigate it a little bit more, you know, it'd be better. I know that it's hard to see from some views, but a lot of people live near there and they're going to see them. I mean, you know, so if we can mitigate them, I think it would be better.
Yeah. Okay.
Do we have any other comments from the commission? I will make the motion to approve the application as submitted with the proviso that he provides an enclosure in fiberglass that encloses all the antennas. So you see, instead of having these individual elements, you would just see a box and match the same color altogether.
I'm sorry, Mr. Rosales. This is Alice Richmond again. Has the petitioner agreed to that?
The petitioner doesn't have to agree to what we recommend. That's not part of the condition.
But you're suggesting something which isn't there now, but which you think would make it look better. And my question is the person, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, Craig, I don't mean to be rude, I don't know your last name.
You got it.
Have they agreed to this?
Well, you know, I mean, if they don't agree to it, they can either withdraw the application or change it, but agreement from the applicant is not part of the conditions.
Well, it's not.
So I will, I just want to pipe up a little bit here. To put in a screen wall is actually a little bit bigger. So if you were to put in a screen wall, it requires a lot of steel to tie back that wall so it structurally can be fastened to the roof. I think, honestly, if you saw a proposal for a full screen wall here, you would not like it. It's just going to require so much steel work that it would just add more equipment and bulk overall.
Well, the outside
slim trim,
completely solid though
profile.
I think one condition that we could put is like, if you want to accept the recommendation, you have to submit a drawing to the staff, and then we can evaluate it more.
I'm not totally clear on that. I submitted a drawing that shows what we're proposing. Are you denying what we
submitted? No,
correct. I'm agreeing with the proviso that you had the screen.
Okay, so.
So Craig, just to clarify, the commission is only approving it right now with the condition that you add a screen to your proposal. Otherwise, the antennas are not approved.
The commission hasn't voted yet.
This is a C, right. Yeah, it's not going to look right if you do a screen wall here. It's going to take way too much steel work.
Well, okay. That's why I asked the supervisor that you have to submit a drawing.
Right. So if you submit the drawings and they return to the commission and the commission doesn't like it, then they'll approve it as the way that you originally proposed it.
I gotcha. Okay.
So are we continuing this, waiting for the new drawings?
No.
What are we doing?
So we would be approving it with the provision that they screen it, and the drawing for the screening, I'm okay with it being provided to staff for approval, i.e. they wouldn't have to come back to us for the approval. They could just get it through Nick, but it has to get approved by staff.
Yes. So do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, so we take a vote. Ian Allen?
Aye.
Joel Pierce?
Aye.
Peter Weinberg?
Aye.
Daniel Santos is not here. Alice Wishman?
No.
Michael Blumenthal is not here. Thank you.
Thanks, Craig. We'll talk another day this week and we'll get you taken care of.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Yep.
Let's go to 34 West Cedar Street.
Monica? Richard, can you present for Monica?
Sure, yeah, it should be a relatively short presentation. Yeah. Yep.
Go ahead.
Yep, so basically we're just proposing exterior repairs, which include repointing the brick, painting windows, fixing window trim to match existing, repairing some slate on the top dormer there. And then in the back on the L, we're replacing that rubber roof, which is not visible from a public way.
Yeah.
And then pretty much the same on the back will be, on the rear facade, we'll be doing the same thing to repair.
So commissioners, this is on design review because I want to pull your attention to the dormer at the upper level. That's really the only thing we're reviewing under design review. Everything else is administrative. So if you look at the top here at the image, it's kind of a weird configuration, and I don't know, they just want to restore it as is, but I don't know if a single covering on the walls would be more appropriate here. So I just want to leave that to you.
Hello, this is Monica. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you, Monica.
Oh, gosh, I figured it out. Sorry about that.
All right. It looks like your camera's on too, Monica.
Oops, I better watch out.
Do you want to add anything else?
Well, I just wanted to add that at some point we will be back to the commission because we will be repairing a railing, but we don't want to discuss it now because of the corona. We were not able to get up there and examine everything closely. So, we just would like to review all of the exterior repairs that the contractor can get started as soon as he can get back to work. So that's why we would like to include the dormer and the slate if possible.
Okay. Do you have any drawings of the dormer?
Yes, there should be a second drawing. It's here, and it's obviously not an original dormer. It was probably done early in this century, and it's been doctored up because it's a little strange the way it has slate, and then it has these flat pieces of wood. But because we have no evidence of what else it was, we felt that the safest thing is just to restore it exactly how it is and just paint the wood black. Right now the paint is peeling, but we would like to just restore. We think the safest thing is just to keep it the way it was. And we're working with Greg Pomeroy, and they can restore the slate, and the roofer has a lot of slate from Beacon Hill, so there are a few slates that need to be replaced. he'll get a perfect match. So that is the general approach. And we're not changing the windows. We're just repairing and painting, basically.
Okay. Anything else?
That's it for now. That's it.
So we're going to open it to public comment. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press star 9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at beaconhillac@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston with the hashtag number BH May 21st hearing. And we will wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions, comments.
Okay, our first hand is being raised by Rochelle. Rochelle, go ahead.
Hi, Beacon Hill Civic Association. We do not object. That's end of comment.
Great, thank you. I don't see any chats coming in or anyone else raising their hands. And it doesn't look like there are any emails. Mary, anything on your side?
No, there are no tweets.
Okay, we are going to close the public comment now. Nick, could you please provide the staff comment?
Yeah, sure. Am I on mute? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. So staff recommends approval with the provisos that the dormer is either clad in a single material and preferably slate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the entire dormer?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, that. I don't know why it was like that. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I will agree with that comment. I think that, you know, slate is an appropriate material in the historic district, and that would unify that facade. And probably would last longer too, because, you know, it would be more durable than the wood. So over time, I think, you know, it would be a better condition.
It might have been slate originally, and then somebody did a bad repair 50 years ago.
maybe it was just a mistake.
Yes.
Thank you. Do we have any other comments from the commission?
Just one question. I may have missed this earlier, but the I assume the slate would be matching the existing.
Yes.
Well, it usually goes without saying, but I just wanted to make sure.
And yes, we will match it, and we will gladly even show the slates that we propose to use. And
All right, thanks.
Different sizes, a little bit of different. I think there's a mix of slates, but we'll match the best ones.
Thank you.
Any other comment? Okay, do we have a motion? Well, I can do the motion. We do the motion to approve as submitted with the proviso that slate be used on the portions of the dormer that are not slate currently and replace the wood with slate. And does the slate match, you know, with the existing slate? And perhaps we could also say that, you know, you should provide a sample to staff. Just to make sure.
I'll second that.
We'll take a vote. Arian Allen?
Aye.
Joel Pierce?
Aye.
Daniel Sanders is not here. P.T. Weinberg?
Aye.
Matthew Blumenthal is not here. Alice Richmond?
Aye.
And Miguel Rosales, aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
We go now to 41 Beacon Street.
Okay.
There she is.
So, do you want to speak? Great, go ahead.
I've asked, I'm Sue Lester at 41 Beacon Street, and I've asked Rob Stoner, who is another owner in our building, and Brian Johnson, who was our contractor, to join me in this presentation tonight. Rob, do you want to start?
Now, can I just confirm, thank you, Sue, that you have our materials and are sharing it on the screen? Or do you want me to do that?
The materials that you see right here.
It's right online.
You're looking at it, great, okay. As Sue said, my name is Robert Stoner. I own the third floor unit of the building. Over the last year, we've made extensive improvements to the exterior and interior of our building, including replacing the furnace with an efficient gas unit. And these improvements have come before the commission previously. With the new furnace, our gas service is now at its limit, and we are unable to provide gas to kitchen stoves and gas fireplaces. Several of our owners would like to install on my floor as well as
a little louder, please.
Fourth. Yeah. Would you like me to repeat anything I've said?
I think we're good.
Okay. Our service is now provided through a basement wall into our building from a crawl space beneath the Somerset Club, which is adjacent to our building on the right, facing the street. To increase our service, we need to bring gas directly from Beacon Street through our own 2-inch pipe and install an appropriate meter on the exterior of our building. We propose to place the meter in the below grade entry area of our garden unit on the wall adjacent to the street. In this location, it would be out of sight of passersby and visible only to pedestrians stopping and looking directly down over our railing into the garden. However, the meter would be visible to the owner of the garden unit, and to hide it, we intend to install evergreen plantings as illustrated. And we would like permission to install a meter and the upgraded line from the main. That's it. If you have technical questions, Brian Johnson is here to answer them.
Can you explain why the meter cannot be inside the building?
Brian, I'll leave that to you.
There's two reasons. One is there's a hallway directly inside the door. So that hallway is where it would have to be located, and that is an egress hallway, which is already very narrow. So it would not really be safe for the egress to put it in that hallway. And also the plumbing commissioner has told us that they want all meters on the exterior. They are no longer accepting meters inside. So it doesn't seem like inside is an option.
Well, and that doesn't make a lot of sense, though, because most meters, that meters have been located inside.
Yeah, meters used to be located inside, but they are, as quickly as possible, having people move them outside. As meters need to be replaced, they are requiring that they be outside, and as new meters are put in, they're requiring that they be outside.
That's been pretty common experience in my world these days as well, Miguel. Just FYI, for what it's worth. A lot of new buildings, and they absolutely are requiring all these things to be outside, which is, is what it is.
So that's why we thought we would put it in this location, like Rob said, so that it would be below grade and out of view of people walking by on the sidewalk. And then we would also hide it with the shrubbery.
I mean, I would say at a minimum, if it must be outside, you probably have to put a screen or something around it. Plants are not sufficient because plants die. And, if it is a new owner of the garden, they might not be maintained. So we never use plants as a screen, but perhaps you could propose a different type of screen, maybe like a trellis or something, on that nature that can be easily accessible if somebody wants to come and read the meter. I think it's very ugly and, very inappropriate. So, but I understand if there is no other option, at least we should screen it.
I'm happy with a screen if Sue and Rob are happy with a screen. I think we could come up with some sort of nice, like you said, some sort of cedar lattice or something like that that would be appropriate, that would look nice.
Yep. Something durable, something in a good wood, like mahogany or something.
Yes.
We'd like that.
Is your drawing showing it to scale? It looks pretty big.
Yeah, that picture, if you go back to the picture, that wall is actually, that's a very small area. So I believe that is pretty much to scale. That area is maybe 3 feet across. I think it's a pretty small area.
Okay.
So it's kind of blown up in the photograph.
Okay. Do we have any other comments from the commissioners? Okay, so I will make a motion to approve it as submitted with the condition proviso that you provide a screen, a wood screen. Probably because it's a granite background, probably painted gray, you know, to match the granite.
Certainly.
And you submit a drawing to the staff just to make sure, you know, it's appropriate. To scale.
Motion. Miguel, can I stop you real quick? I know these weren't to scale, and I were expecting you to request for the drawings, but it would be staff's preference that there's no drilling. I think that is a granite block on top, right? Sue, can you confirm that, or Robert?
It's a granite slab at the top.
Okay, I would prefer that nothing.
And there's a small overhang. There's a small overhang, and if we could fit it under the overhang, it would be great, but I'm not sure it's enough room for it.
It staff's
recommendation. The thing is that the connection would not go for the granite. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, at least the top granite. I would not want that drilled into there.
That's true, they can go under the street.
Yeah.
Does that mean
I believe the line will be below that top piece of granite.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so we can add that as a proviso also. That you do not penetrate the granite, just come from underneath. Do we have a second?
And we still need to do public comment, Miguel.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Let me read the comment. The two public comment. Members of the public will now have the opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. Or if you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press star 9 to raise your hand. You can send your questions to staff via email at beaconhillac@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag number BH. In May 21st hearing, we will wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions.
Okay, Martha McNamara, I know you were raising your hand. Would you still like to make a comment?
Yes, thank you, Joe. So this seems like a pretty dramatic change from what's been the practice in the city and particularly on Beacon Hill. And I think that you should explore further what it is precisely that the, I think Brian said it was the plumbing commissioner, has in mind, and also if there are any exemptions for historic districts. It would strike me as a very bad thing for gas meters to suddenly be cropping up all over Beacon Hill, particularly on the front facades of buildings. So I don't know if that's something that staff could look into or perhaps require the applicant to have a letter from the plumbing commission, but this is really a big change. And I think that we should be very careful about approving any exterior gas meters that can be seen from a public way. Thank you.
I think we can add a proviso that a letter be provided as part of.
Well, hang on, Miguel. Brian, you deal with this stuff on a regular basis. Can you comment on that?
Well, the question that we asked to the plumbing commissioner was specific to this property. So, you know, he knows that it's on Beacon Hill, and he told us that that was the only option he was giving us. We can certainly request a letter from him stating that.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful.
We have Rochelle Gerwert. Rochelle is raising her hand. Rochelle, would you like to comment?
Hi, Beacon Hill Civic Association. We had recommended denial because we would like the gas meter to be placed inside the building if possible. But if not, we ask that the application be continued and they come back with a proposal for how they would cover it in the outside. That's the end of comment.
Thank you. I don't see anyone else raising their hand, or I don't see any chats or emails coming in. Mary, are there any tweets?
No, there are not.
Could I make one more quick comment? Just like to point out, in the picture, the meter does look fairly dramatic, but if you go to the picture at the end of the presentation, you see from the sidewalk that the meter is not seen. So I think it's not nearly as intrusive as it, people may assume it might be. I'd just like to point that out. Because it is down below grade.
The meter is located before, rather in the very small opening in the railing to the downward stair. You can see the garden unit door to the right. It faces that garden door about 3 feet below the grade.
You know, one mitigation condition is that, some of this equipment, changes over time. And as far as we are not penetrating the granite, there's always the possibility that, it would change afterwards. And, like right now, we're looking also at having all these fire alarms and things like that are required now that they used to be required. But if they are put in a way that is reversible, that we are not impacting the historic fabric, I think that's acceptable. If that's the only way, so I think we'll require to have a letter saying that there is no other possibility in this condition.
And excuse me, we do have one last public comment here. Charlotte Thibodeau, would you like to comment?
Yes, I would actually. So since we are in this predicament that this is a brand new a mandate from the plumbing or from ISD or from whoever, can we ask the applicant to come back with better visual so that also we can look at perhaps a different location for it? This, looking at this property, there could maybe be other locations to have this gas meter be placed where we don't have to screen it, where it is less visible. I think we don't have enough information here to really say yes or no, again, because it's a brand new change or a relatively new change and a drastic change. And it is a very highly visible area of Beacon Hill.
Great, thank you. We have a chat coming in from Rob Whitney. He writes that he had his gas meter replaced last year on Beacon Hill and it was kept inside in the basement of the building. And it looks like we have one more person raising their hand. Brian, if you'd let us know your full name, we'll give you 2 minutes to comment.
It's Brian Johnson again. I'm the contractor that's been speaking.
Okay.
I just wanted to point out, we probably should have put a picture of the front of the building, but to the right of that little stairway and door is three windows all lined up. So a gas meter cannot go in front of a window or within a certain amount of feet of a window. So that is why that's the only location. Because we first explored possibly putting it over to the right. But with the windows, we cannot meet code doing that.
I mean, I think that if the meter is already inside the house and you want to change the meter or make adjustments, is your belief right now that even if the meter was inside the house in the basement, they had to be put outside? Is that the new requirement?
The problem right now is the meter has to be, the line has to be made larger. As Rob pointed out in the beginning, the line right now comes through the basement of the adjacent building, which is the Somerset Club. So that line is insufficient now for the use. So they need to run a new line in from the street. So now it's a new meter.
Okay.
So the question now is where to locate that new meter and whether they would accept putting it inside, which as far as we know, they will not accept that.
Yeah, just to comment, I guess we can get through public comment. Are we through public comment, Miguel?
I think so, yep.
Okay, so that's my understanding too, and that's why it would be contradictory to Mr. Whitney's experience. If that's a replacement of a meter that's already inside and the service is already inside, the main service, and you're putting on even a new meter on an existing service where the line's adequate, you can keep them inside. But on new line installs, it's been my experience of late that they are requiring these outside. Again, it'd be great. I think we should get some kind of letter and make that a part of the decision. I'm more than happy with that because I agree with Charlotte's comment and Martha's comment that this is, you know, obviously not an ideal situation. That being said, on new service, it has been my experience that they are requiring meter bars and meters to be outside.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of the location, I think this is less visible. Anything close to the building is going to be much more visible. At least it's, you know, behind the railing. And I think with the proper screen, probably, you know, it would be okay. If that's the only way, you know, if that's the only way. Also, Sue has a beautiful garden there, so probably she has to put plants or something over it. So together with the screen and the plantings, I think it would be okay. So I'm going to repeat the motion because we made some changes. So I would say the motion is to approve it as submitted with the condition that they provide the trellis wood screen painted to match the color of the granite as best as possible, and that no penetration be done to the historic granite fabric, that the connection has to come from underneath. And that the applicant provide drawings to scale, you know, of the screen with the meter. Do we have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, we'll take a vote. And did I say that they have to provide the letter too?
You did.
Okay. Arian Allen?
Aye.
Joel Pierce?
Aye.
Peter Weinberg?
Aye.
Alice Richmond?
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We'll move to 45 Temple Street.
There he is. Hey, Matt.
Hey, thanks everyone for hearing us. And is everyone able to hear my mic?
Yep.
Perfect. So the project is 45 Temple Street, and what we're here today for is an application for a certificate of appropriateness for the address signage. So we're looking for the 45, and the location we're proposing is right where the cursor was. It's just to the right, or I'm sorry, it's to go to the, yes, right where the cursor is now. It's just to the right of the main entrance in the recessed entrance. It's going to be mounted on granite. And if you go to the next image, you will see an in-progress construction photo. And if you go to the next one, we'll zoom in right to the location. So the drawings are on the right, and in the photo on the left, you'll see that piece of granite just to the right of those temporary construction doors. That's where the sign would go. So we're providing two options. Our preference is the 12-inch high version, but we've also shown a 6-inch high version. The finish is going to be the light bronze patina finish that is already approved and on the storefront. So our idea is to keep that same language of materials and finishes. So here are two renderings of the 6-inch and the 12-inch versions. And the image to the left further to the left, is talked about how we chose the font. So what we did is we looked at the existing engraved signage on the entablature of the building that says Suffolk University. We're using that same font for the 45. That's our jumping off point for the design. So essentially, it's going to be a metal sign that's half an inch thick. It is the same finish as what's on the storefront. And we've got two size options, a 12 inch and a 6 inch height. And that's essentially the bulk of the presentation.
Okay. Let's open it to the public comment. Members of the public will now have the opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat, in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press star 9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at beaconhillac@boston.gov, or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag number BH May 21st hearing. We will wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions.
Great. Our first hand is being raised by Rochelle Gerwitz. Rochelle?
Hi, Beacon Hill Civic Association. We prefer the smaller street number, but we would recommend that a mid-century modern font, a sans serif in bronze, be used instead. This portion of the building is the former Donahue Building at 41 Temple Street and was constructed in 1966. And its Suffolk University signage appears in historical photographs that have been a geometric sans serif typeface similar to Futura. We submitted those photos in our comments document that was submitted earlier today. And that photo was taken when the building had just opened in 1966. And if not Futuro, other options are Helvetica and Franklin Gothic, which are a popular sans serif font used at that time. And that is the end of this comment.
Okay, thank you. We don't have any other hands being raised, and I don't see any chats or email. Mary, do you have any?
No, there's nothing on Twitter.
Okay, so we're going to close the public comment.
Oh, well, I think I do see one chat coming in from Rob Whitney. Has the applicant obtained the approval of the ISD for the signage lettering per Article 11 of the Boston Zoning Code as required under the guidelines?
So we meet the zoning code by right. Essentially, the article says that you're able to have an address sign. And I believe the size requirement is the maximum that you're allowed to be is 2 square feet, and we're under that.
Okay.
I don't see any other comments coming in.
No more comments?
Nope.
And we're going to close the public comment. Nick, do you have any comments? You have to unmute.
Staff recommends approval as submitted, seeing that the applicant met with me prior to this hearing.
I think, personally, I prefer the larger sign, the 45 number, as the applicant is proposing. It looks better in the whole scale of the building. You know, this is basically a new building. It's not the old building at all. So I have an issue that you're not following, you know, the 1950s planet that it used to be there before. And I also think that since you already have the same material on the doors, it's better to use the same material, the same color, because, I mean, basically this is a new building and that will be more consistent. So my recommendation would be the larger size, the 12 inches, matching the material that you already have on the window trims. And color. Do you have any other comments from the commission?
I agree with you.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion to approve as submitted. With the condition that is the largest size number 45, the 12 inches, the one that is installed.
I'll second that.
Okay, we'll take a vote. Arian Allen?
Aye.
Joel Pierce?
Aye.
Peter Weinberg?
Aye.
Alice Wiesman?
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. And by the way, the building is almost finished, no? When are you going to open?
That's a good question. With it's probably going to be in the fall, but obviously with the COVID situation, you know, that could affect it slightly.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
Now we go to 4 Walnut Street.
Yes, hi. My name is Ernie Wright, and our application, I'll make this short and sweet, I hope, is really falls under the rubric of maintenance. We want to re-varnish the front door and archway, and we also want to paint the fire escapes in kind. So we definitely want to keep the same color. We would actually welcome having someone from the commission coming by and advising us on and concurring with the color. But it's essentially, I've lived in the building since 2002, and it has not been re-varnished since then. And that's all I have to say.
So is this basically just a repairing kind?
Yes.
They're repainting, so I thought you'd want to see the colors.
But you're matching the existing color.
Right, exactly.
Okay, is that it? Do you have anything else to add?
Pleasure to speak.
Okay, so let's open it to public comment. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press star 9 to raise your hand. You can send your questions to staff via email at beaconhillac@boston.com or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag number BH May 21st here. We will wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions.
Okay, I do not see anyone currently raising their hand. Oh, Rochelle. Rochelle Gerwitz, go ahead.
Beacon Hill Civic Association, we do not object to repainting in kind. That's the end of comment.
Great, thank you. Don't see any chats coming in or emails. And Mary, Charlotte Thibodeau?
Yeah. Charlotte? Yes, I'm here. So I just want to make the comment that yes, we do want to, we do approve it to be in kind. We were sort of wondering why it was on admin, not on admin. But this building is unique in its own way. It's a Beacon Hill building with many different varieties on it. Changing anything in it would not be in its best interest, I think. And I think since the applicant is asking for in kind, I don't know why there should be an opening to have it be changed.
So let me just chime in here for a second. So I put this application on the design review in the interest of the applicant's time. If you and the Civic Association recalls, we did have an application where there was an in-kind repainting. So rather than waste the applicant's time, I decided to throw it on here so that we could get them in and out if there were any problems. So this is my decision to put this on here, and that's why it's there.
Yeah.
And no problem. Is there any other comment?
I don't see any more. Mary, do you have any comments coming in?
No, there's nothing from Twitter.
We do have one hand being raised. Martha McNamara?
Hi. Yeah, thanks for that clarification, Nick. It seems to me, though, that if something is going to be painting in kind, it would be just as quick to have approved this administratively. It seems it's just worrisome when we bring painting in kind to design review because, as we've seen in the past, there have been objections to the historic color. And we really want to keep that from happening. So that's why I just pushed just asking a little bit further about really this would have gone even more quickly in administrative review. Thanks.
Right. So Miguel, I'd like to comment on that.
No, it's okay, Nick. I just want to clarify that whatever is submitted administrative for approval has to come back to the commission and the commission has to ratify that. So it's not approved at the staff level, it's approved at the commission level, just so that's clear. Any other comments?
Nope, that's it on our end.
Joe, you having like an echo?
Like kind of a reverb.
Yeah, someone's not muted.
Okay. All right. So do you already did the staff comment? I forgot.
Staff recommends approved as submitted.
Okay. So do we have a motion?
I second that motion.
I would make a motion that we approve it as submitted.
Okay. Do you have a second?
I second that motion.
Okay, so we'll take a vote. Ian Allen?
Aye.
Joel Pierce?
Aye.
Peter Weinberg?
Aye.
Alice Richmond?
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. We go to 54 Pinckney Street, and I'm going to recuse myself from this application.
Thanks, Miguel. Joel, do you want to take this? Joel?
54 Pinckney?
Yes, it's John Corey. Can you everybody hear me?
We got it.
Thank you, commissioners, and Nick and Joe for having me this evening to go through this application. And as you know, we're just finishing the restoration of this house. And one of the items that is required by the fire department is that we had to put a sprinkler system into the house. And in single family houses, we're able to do a pump system. So we're actually able to get away from any kind of connections on the outside of the house. Like a lot of times you see the big brass connections going through the brick or the granite and everything. So we don't, it's a pump system, it's all internal. The only thing that the building department requires on the exterior, and we've seen these around the hill, are the fire alarm bells so that if the fire truck's coming down the street, they can hear where the sprinklers are going off on the house. They actually do not require a strobe on these smaller systems, so it's just the alarm. And I am working with Blackwater Fire Pro, and they have recommended the smallest one here, which is there's a picture there of the three of them, and it's the smallest one, the 6 inches. So as you can see in the photo, this actually is the same photo that we used last month here, but this photo we just circled the spot where the wire is, and we'd like to put there the 6-inch bell. We thought that was the best place for it, even though it's not visible to the fire truck coming down. It's still out, so it can be heard, and it's also drilled into the wood. So that's sort of a reversible condition. We didn't want to drill the brick or the granite or anything. So I'm asking the commission to approve, as presented, the bell, a 6-inch bell onto the wood. And as you guys were saying earlier, the systems change over time. So if it does change, the bell could be removed quite easily and the hole patched. And I'm not sure if I had any other drawings or I think that was it. I'm not sure for the commission.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to show you this is the cut sheet, and we're allowed to select the smallest one. It's done by decibels I guess, but and we're hoping to, there's a little box there. We would put into the wood above the recess box, electrical, that would be recessed, but then the bell would be on top of that. So, I mean, it would be very simple to remove it at a later date if fire protection changes. But, and this is, if you do walk around the hill, you do see them quite often. And sometimes they don't do the brick, but we're lucky because we have a slightly recessed entrance and we can put it up inside, which we think is the less intrusive. So if there's any other comments, any questions?
John, who is the fire experts that you used?
It's Blackwater Fire Pro, and it's Matt Carson. And he's done a bunch of projects on the hill.
Yep.
I got his name from a friend of mine that lives on Beacon Hill.
Okay, we're just looking for information about that so we can refer to our commission. So thank you, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any questions or comments? Anything from the Civic Association?
All right, there are several people raising their hands for public comment. We'll start with Charlotte Thibodeau. Charlotte, you'll have 2 minutes.
And let's just remind the public that we're only talking about this bell, and that's the only comments we're going to accept.
Charlotte, can you hear us? Not sure what happened to Charlotte. We can move to Martha. Martha McNamara.
Hi, yes. So just to point out, as Mr. Corey said in his statement, the work on this has already begun. In fact, the work was begun over a month ago. So he began work installing this alarm bell before getting permission, approval from this commission. And as I pointed out last month, the chair of the commission is married to Mr. Corey. So the chair of the commission, by law, has a financial interest in this project. And continuing to violate the guidelines of the commission is really unacceptable. And Nick, I know you said that you were only going to take comment on this, but there are other violations outstanding.
We understand that. And Martha, we can talk about that at a later time. And I've told you about how to file a complaint regarding ethics concerns. So we're not going to talk about that today. We're only talking
That's
about-
That's fine. That's fine. So, but let me point out that at 3 Park Street, they were required to have a brass cover over their intercom and doorbell. The doorbell that John Corey installed is in violation. The plate behind it was never approved. And yet he's not required to cover it in brass. I'm just deeply troubled by the way in which the chair of this commission engages with a private realtor, speculative real estate developer on the Hill. And it seems to me that he's violating the commission's guidelines. And if he can't follow the guidelines, how can we ask anybody in the neighborhood to follow them? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Charlotte, are you still wanting to make a comment? Charlotte Thibodeau? If not, we'll move.
I think everything's been said. When I got cut off, I think what I was gonna say has been pointed out. I just, quite frankly, if I come to the commission with a request to repaint or to do whatever to my house, and I go ahead and do it first, is that the proper way of doing it? For someone that is new to the Hill, I've said this before, it's somewhat understandable, but it's someone who has done multiple projects on the Hill. So I don't quite understand how we can approve a picture of a hole already drilled and say, no, yep. So that's my comment to that, unfortunately. Thank you for listening. End of comment.
Thank you, Charlotte. Rochelle Gerwitz, I know you had your hand raised. Do you still want to make a comment?
Sure, yeah, just the Beacon Hill Civic Association comment that was written on the document we had sent is that the applicant was in front of the commission last month for multiple violations. The hole for the spell was clearly drilled before receiving approval. This should be considered a violation, and the applicant should receive no further approvals until all violations are rectified. But we don't have a problem with the specific location of the bell. If they had come to approve, like come, had not done the work already, that they had come and suggested putting the bell there, we would have considered it a suitable solution, not being on the front of the facade and being hidden and not being drilled into the brick. That's the end of comment.
Great, thank you. We have a chat coming in from Rob Whitney. Rob asks, can the bell be in a darker color such as gray or black?
What?
John, would you like to respond?
I can certainly ask the fire department if we can. I agree. I mean, I don't want to see them either. And I'm absolutely willing to try to change it, paint it a different color. I would definitely have to ask the fire department because I would hate to paint it and have them come out inspection. And so I'm willing to ask, and maybe I can touch base with Nick. And if that actually is a, if that's a choice and we're able to do it, I think that would help the commission going forward. So absolutely. I mean, I think that, I would ask to, the commission to approve, and it's, you know, I think it's a sensible location. I think it's, you know, the minimis, and I think it needs to be done. But certainly, if I could paint it like matching the surround color, I would be, that would be great. And I can certainly touch base with Nick if the commission's agreeable on that.
Okay, great, thank you. I don't see any other chats coming in or hands being raised or email messages. Mary, do you have any messages coming in?
No, nothing has come through on Twitter.
Okay, Joel, I think we're finished with public comment.
You say we're finished with a public comment?
Yes.
Okay, and Chair Pierce, if I may, I don't know if it matters or not, but I just wanted to point out that the photo that I showed this evening is the same photo that the commission did look at last month. So it was the same, it was, you know, I know I had some violations last month and I worked through them, but it, though that the photo is the same as what we have for the last few months, so nothing's changed. I haven't done anything on the exterior until I got the violations approved, and then obviously this would have to be approved through the commission.
And I just, you know, I wouldn't normally butt in here, but I just, for the record, John and I have had a conversation about him touching base with his contractors, and he's accepted that. And regardless of the history, I wasn't around on Beacon Hill then, but I am now. And I'm confident that John will do that. So I just want the record to show that.
I don't have any issues with it. I think I agree with the overall sentiment. If they're allowed to be painted black, which I do not believe they are,
I don't think so.
That'd be beneficial for this application and any application moving forward, or dark gray. I don't think they can be painted at all. I think they have to be red. So I would, does anyone else have any comments on this on the commission?
This is Alice Richmond. I don't have a comment on the box or its color, whatever is required by the fire department is fine with me, but I do have a question on process. I don't know who is, are you chairing, Joel? I'm not sure.
Yes, who's, yeah, I'm okay. chairing for the moment.
I got it. Okay, so I am troubled by, and I'm very cognizant of Nick's comment, but I'm not sure that I understand it. So when people say that the rules haven't been followed, and that we normally, since I'm pretty new to this, since we normally don't consider new requests until the violations have been addressed and I presume taken care of. Can we assume, Nick, that that has occurred, that the violations that were described at the last meeting have been taken care of to the satisfaction of the staff?
Yes, because I wrote the letter and sent the email to the building commissioner. So the violation has been lifted and the stop work order has been lifted because I personally saw it.
All right. Thank you very much for that clarification. And I appreciate it.
All right. Any further comments or questions? Anybody have a motion?
Want to make a motion that we approve the application as submitted with the proviso that if it can be painted black or dark gray, that is the commission preference, and if it can be, that be submitted and approved by staff.
I second that motion.
All right. Nick, can you call the roll?
Yeah, sure. So Joel Pierce?
Aye.
PT?
Aye.
Arian Allen?
Aye.
Alice Richmond?
Aye.
The ayes have it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, commissioners. Have a good night. Thanks, Ben.
The share returns. Miguel, you're on mute.
I'm sorry, 10.5 Beacon Street.
Yes, good evening. This is Matthew Bronski with Simpson, Gumperts & Hager, the applicant. I'd just like to make sure everyone can hear me well.
We can hear you, Matt.
Okay, thank you. You might recall last month I was before you submitting for the south side, the Beacon Street side of the Athenaeum with a brownstone facade and terrace restoration project. This is a parallel sister project on the back side, as it were. So it's the south side overlooking the granary burying ground. And this is basically... Nick, I wonder if you could advance to the second page.
Oh, sorry. Again. That's me. Don't worry about it.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
So this is basically the rehabilitation of two balconies. One's at the second floor and one is at the fifth floor. And maybe stop right there, Nick, at that second floor existing conditions. That's a good one for kind of the overview of what we're proposing here. So you can see that view kind of in the center right now on the right-hand side of the left slide. That's the south elevation overlooking the old granary burying ground. And kind of encircled in red is the fifth floor balcony. And down at the second floor level on the right is the second floor balcony. So I took these photos in winter with all the leaves down. It's still very hard to see these even with all the leaves down and halfway across the burial ground. So they're not highly visible, but it is a really beautiful facade on an important building. So some photos at the left of the fifth floor balcony, both of these really have the same issues. They are used by the Athenaeum's readers, so people can come out with a book and enjoy the nice weather. They both have issues with leakage at the waterproofing because they both have occupied space underneath them, as you can see in kind of the lower left photo. So there is occupied space, reading rooms directly beneath them. It's at least a 20-year-old waterproofing. The paving system on both is slate that's quite slippery. So we have leakage issues, kind of deterioration, and you see in the lower left photo, the mortar efflorescence kind of gushing out and kind of coming down and staining the facade. And the railings are quite rickety and non-compliant with code, have quite wide spacing and aren't well anchored or secured. So for all these reasons, and kind of compounded by a few weeks ago, a significant leak on the second floor balcony that cascaded down and across the main reading room that I had to respond to during the COVID crisis, we're looking to completely replace the waterproofing and paving on both balconies. So again, those two systems are about 20 years old. The railings are non-original and likely date from probably sometime between 1915 and the the 40s or 50s. So the scheme, and maybe you could scroll a little farther along, Nick. Yeah, this is a good sheet to show. So the scheme on both, if you back up just a bit, would be we would take up all the slate paving, all the waterproofing, down to the structural deck, which is concrete in both cases. And then we would put down all new waterproofing, new drainage, new gutters, copper for copper. And then the pavers would be bluestone, replacing the slippery slate. They're not visible at all from the burial ground or from the street, but just for your own knowledge. And then both railings would be replaced. Again, they're non-original, but we do want to mirror the appearance of both of these railings. And the code difficulty, structural and architectural, the spacing of the kind of individual balusters is about 7.5. Some of them are more than 8. So not only can you pass a 4-inch ball, but you can pass a 6 or 7-inch ball. But what we are going to do is replicate the appearance of both, and they're different. So you can see that the kind of, that slide on the right is good. At the second floor, at each of the post locations where the railing is mounted, you have kind of a lovely curving double S between the posts. So that would all be replicated, all new, more structurally sound. And we would just tighten the spacing of the individual balusters or verticals to make that code compliant and design a more secure structural anchorage. And we think really the key thing about them when you can see them at all is that they carefully thought out the post locations, not to just be kind of a set 6 or 8 feet or something uniform, but they actually vary to match the facade. So this diagram at the right illustrates that, where the decorative posts are aligned right over the window mullions very nicely. So we would be replicating that again, picking that up. And at the fifth floor, if you go to the next slide, Nick. Kind of similar idea. They're well thought out and they relate to the building facade as a whole. But in this case, you have a plane post and then kind of an ornamental panel that's at the midspan. So the plane posts are centered over the brick pilasters and then the ornamental panel is centered over the window. So again, the plan, we would pick up on all that, mount that the same place. We would match the profile and kind of the ornamental pieces of the two railings. And the second floor case to the left, it would be all new. And on the fifth floor case to the right, there's actually, even though it's not original, there's a fair bit of craftsmanship and detail in those almost harp-like ornamental panels. So we would actually be cutting those off the kind of corroded and deteriorated railing and then remounting them onto the new railing. So that artifact and that piece of historic fabric would be carried forward. So that's the basic scheme, and I'd love to take your questions.
What is the spacing you are using, 4 inches or?
Yeah, so the current code spacing is the way it's written is it cannot pass a 4-inch ball. So the spacing would be a hair less than 4 inches, say 3 7/8. And we have a comparison here. This is a great slide to show that. So this is rendered to scale. So you get the visual difference in the two. So on the left, you see kind of the wider spacing of those posts. And on the left, you see the existing with the wider spacing. On the right, you see the proposed with the code compliant spacing. The other thing we're doing, which is not traditionally how a railing was mounted, and we think it kind of relates to much of the bad detailing that was done 20 years ago when these were redone, is you can see in that left image, that bottom rail is right on the pavement, which is very unusual, and that's badly corroded as a result of that. So we would be picking that up slightly again, about 3 7/8, to get that out of the corrosion zone and also to get it and allow, you know, leaves and things to not get caught under there, but also to give it a more traditional appearance with that rail, that bottom rail is off the ground and not right on it.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add?
So that's really it. There are a couple steps down to the terrace at one of the balconies, and those will be replaced as well. Those are non-historic precast concrete that dates, again, we think from about 20 years ago.
I have a question on the plan of the post of the railing.
Sure.
Okay. I think there is a drawing that shows the plan.
Okay.
I think it was toward the end, no?
Nope.
I think it's on the drawing set, Nick. Right now you're on the existing conditions slide, so a different.
Okay.
Well, anyway, yep. I just want to make sure these bolts and this is going to be below the paving.
Exactly. So we're showing kind of the base plate mounting detail, kind of the technical detail on the right, but that would be completely hidden underneath the new bluestone paving. So you would not see that at all. And one of the other, I think, really both a technical and a visual problem with the terrace now is the slate paving is all mortar set in mud, and it just kind of comes right to the edge. So the slate pavers or tiles are just kind of glued to the deck with mortar. So you get both all the mortar efflorescence gushing out and staining the facade, but you also get slate tiles popping loose with freeze thaw and falling into the burial ground. So what we'll be doing is using a larger piece of bluestone, almost like a coping along the edge with the smaller pavers behind that. And then that larger coping will be doweled in. So it'll give it a more consistent uniform appearance at the edge, like the cornice with larger stones rather than little ticky-tacky little tiles all kind of glued in with mortar, which is what's currently visible on the edge if you get close enough to see it.
Okay. We're going to open it to the public comment. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press star 9 to raise your hand, or you can send your question to staff via email at beaconhillac@boston.com or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag number BH May 21st hearing. We'll wait at least 2 minutes to allow the public to submit questions.
Okay, our first hand is being raised by Rochelle Gerwitz. Rochelle?
Hi, Beacon Hill Civic Association. We do not object. End of comment.
Okay, thank you. I don't see any chats coming in or email messages. Mary, do you have any messages?
No.
Okay, and again, do not see anyone else raising their hand. So I think that's the end of public comment.
Okay, we close the public comment. Nick, do you have any comments?
Staff recommends approving as submitted.
Okay. I think it's a very good solution, and you know, we appreciate all the care that you're taking for this building. And I'm glad that you come to this level of detail. It's a very important building in Beacon Hill, and I think you have come up with very good details. I don't have a comment either. Do you have any comments from the rest of the commission? Or questions? Okay. Do you have a motion?
I'd make a motion that we approve the application as submitted.
Do you have a second?
I second that motion.
Okay, we'll take a vote. Aaron Allen?
Aye.
Joel Pierce?
Aye.
Peter Weinberg?
Aye.
Alice Richman?
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks.
Now we'll go to the administrative review and approval. Did anybody else have any comments? Do you have any comments from the public on the administrative review and approval?
Do not see anyone raising their hand or chats coming in. And no email messages. And Mary, do you have any?
No, nothing on Twitter.
Okay. I didn't have any comments. So anybody in the commission has any comments? Okay, do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the administrative applications en masse.
A second?
I second that motion.
Okay, we'll take a vote. Arian Allen?
Aye.
Joel Pierce?
Aye.
Peter Weinberg?
Aye.
Alice Richman?
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. Now we go to the ratification of the public hearing minutes and the public subcommittee meeting minutes. I know you saw, but Nick did a correction on one of the meeting minutes from February 20th. And that was the only comment I had. Does anybody else have any comments? Okay, Nick, I just want to make the comment. You know, I think in the future, for the public subcommittee minutes, yep, my preference would be that you have at least three members that vote. But I acknowledge that, you know, at that hearing of 115, I wasn't there and the commission decided to have only two people. Yep. I just think that, you know, as a practice, if you only have two people and they don't agree, you know, we don't have a vote. So that would be my recommendation in the future.
Okay.
So I went over and looked at the application again, and I don't have any objections. So I think it's ratified.
So Miguel, since you're the chair, that's fine. Those are your rules and we'll go by them. You're being more restrictive, and that's okay. So it's basically like federal law and state law. The state law can't be more restrictive than the federal law, or less restrictive. So you're fine. So we'll do it your way going forward. That's great. Thank you.
Do you have a motion to approve the minutes? Motion to approve the minutes, the 220, the 416, and the 115. Do we have any second?
I'll second.
Okay. We take a vote. Arian Allen?
Aye.
Joel Pierce?
Aye.
Peter Weinberg?
Aye.
Alice Richman?
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. Any staff updates?
Yeah, just one real quick. I just wanted to show you guys. So we got our preservation month stuff in. And so you guys will all be getting a Beacon Hill fan light pin, lapel pin. So I'll be sending that to all of you or the next time I see you guys. And then if there's anybody here from the Civic Association, I'll also send a bunch to you. So you guys will be getting that. And yeah, they're pretty cool. So I hope you like them.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it.
Before we adjourn, I have a procedural question. Are we going to be starting for the foreseeable future at 4:30?
No, we start at 5:00.
Well, it was confusing, Nick, because the thing that was sent said 4:30, and I was confused, completely confused, because I thought we started at 5:30. But anyway. It said 4:30 Eastern Daylight Time. So do we start at 5? That's the time we start?
Wait, what are you looking at?
I think the Zoom meeting said you will open the Zoom meeting.
Oh. Yeah, so you might, the Zoom meeting will, it goes according to the time zone that your computer's on, I think. But
my computer's on the Eastern time zone, so it said 4:30.
Maybe it does it open a half hour early potentially?
Yes.
So that's what it is. It the Zoom link will work 30 minutes prior to an appointment.
Got okay. It. Oh, that's right. Yeah, right, PT.
Yeah, so I just wasn't sure because the Conservation Commission is thinking about beginning earlier than 6 because, you know, people are not necessarily on the same schedules that they used to be. So I thought that maybe we were just starting early and then I assume that unless we hear from you differently, we'll start at 5?
Yeah, we set the times at the beginning of the year.
All right, that's fine with me. I was confused. Thank you very
so
much.
So just to clarify, we always start at 5, the third Thursday of the month.
Correct.
And just to clarify, Zoom is just allowing us a chance to make sure we get work on glitches by saying 4:30.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Good job.
Do you have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, do you have a second? I can second it. We'll take a vote. Ian Allen?
Aye.
Joel Pierce?
Aye.
Peter Weinberg?
Aye.
Alice Richmond?
Aye.
Miguel Rosales, aye. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks everybody.
We'll see you guys next month.
Yeah.
All right.
See you next month.